Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And as you can see, this is our first broadcast, our first podcast on video. You get to see this face that was made for radio every couple of weeks. This is the big reveal for us for season five. I'm excited about season five. I think this is something we had promised. As far as moving forward with this podcast, is that we would start going video. And so this is our first attempt at it. I'm pretty excited.
Me too.
So today, our topic, oh, this is going to be fun. Today, our topic, we call this mercenary ministry.
Ooh.
Yeah, mercenary ministry.
What does that mean?
So this is probably one of those sensitive areas, specifically for a certain group of ministers, I would say. Those that do it for the pay. This is what the mercenary minister is, the ones that do it for the pay.
That's a great name, by the way.
I thought so.
I had nothing to do with that one. I've picked a couple of them, but that one's all yours, and I like it.
I dig it, man. So I did want to talk about this because I do think this is something that needs to be discussed in the body. This is one of those things that it'll probably be offensive to some, but we kind of do that. Our
I know.
intent is not to offend, but our intent is to provide the truth the best that we can. And if the truth does offend, then there's no apologies made for that. Hopefully, after the offense, if there is an offense, you would sit back and consider if there's truth here. If there's truth here and your life doesn't line up to that truth, then hopefully you would consider realigning some things. So, Bruce, you have some things already, some thoughts already as far
Well,
as mercenary ministry?
the most of these subjects, for those that are listening and watching now, most of these subjects that we bring on the podcast are things that we have talked about, in some instances over and over again. This is one of those, and I think, Troy, what I'd like to do is start by making a point that being, I hate the word paid, right? But being taken care of, a preacher being taken care of for preaching is not in and of itself wrong.
Correct.
Right? And so, we can go to certain scriptures and Paul talking about, if I give you my spiritual things, you ought to take care of me per se. I'm paraphrasing, but with your natural things, so on and so forth. Today, those natural things, normally is considered money, considered in America, considered dollars, right?
Pretty much all the
Take
time,
care of
yeah.
me with your dollars, right? So I want to make that point up front because we're going to dig into it a little bit, and you already made the point that our intent is never to dog anybody out. We're not calling anybody by name. These are just things that we have noticed over time, and experiences that we've had. The thing that I want to make a point of saying is that there are warnings in the Bible as well, right? We know that taking care of ministers financially is not wrong, but there are also very strong warnings. And I think even beyond warnings, there are some instruction on how to think concerning ministry and money, if I can say it like that, where ministry and money try to cross each other's paths. I think there's a lot of things, and I'll start with one. In Matthew 10:7, it says, "As you go, preach the message. As you go, preach the message. The kingdom of heaven is near." Verse 8 says, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons, and then this weird statement at the very end, and it's an instruction. Freely you have received, freely give. Right?
Yep.
That's very interesting to me, and I said, okay, I'm starting with that. Freely you have received, freely give. We're going to deal with the mentality behind, ooh, what do we call it today? We call it honorariums, don't we?
I think that's the word that's used.
Yeah.
At least that's the word they tell me.
Yeah, I've heard honorariums, and I've heard some other things, and you know, and you know, take care of the men and women of God. Show your support, show your love toward them. But we have to be very careful on one side that we don't idolize them.
Correct.
Right. I've seen that before. I've probably done that before, to be honest. And then on the leader's side, that we don't have such an expectation of being taken care of from the people versus expecting God to take care of us for what we were called to do. Is that a good start?
That's a great start. Love that you brought up the passage in Matthew. Freely you have received, so freely you give. And I think often overlooked because there's other passages that people would rather go to justify.
Yeah.
You know, there's all kind of passages people go to justify. But I think even in trying to justify that, nobody really backs into that scripture.
Yeah.
You know, there's red letter stuff, man.
Yeah.
And so I look at it that way. The gospel is not for sale.
It's not.
Never was for sale. Church is not a business.
That's right.
It never was a business.
That's right.
It was never meant to be a business. People will say, well, it's a business first. It's not.
It's not.
It's still not.
No.
If it is a business, I would have to ask you, what is your product or what is your service?
Yeah.
What are you selling?
What are you selling?
Yeah. Anything exactly. That you are selling actually doesn't even belong to you.
That's right.
So I think it's one of those weird things, man. I think we've become so money conscious to the point that everything is driven off of money. It seems like everything has to be money related. Everything has to be it has to have a dollar amount tied to it.
Yeah.
It's just really weird, man, the space that the body is in right now.
Yep.
When I look at it, it's just really weird space that we're in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been like that for a long time now.
It has.
You know, and it's I think weird is a good adjective, you know what I'm saying? Because you know, what do you do? God calls you, you know, and he graces you to be able to say things from the word of God that cause people to want to come back and hear more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've seen it too many times, Troy, where the gospel being preached was so pure, so clean,
mm-hmm.
the atmosphere being clean, but it was when we didn't have anything.
You know,
it was when there was only a handful of people, you know, and that's why I say weird is a good term, because I've seen it too many times where once a minister begins to get popular,
yeah,
people begin to show up, or in this case, people begin to tune in because so much of it is online now, right? You know, and they begin to give, and the ministry and the minister begin to grow. It is very difficult for those ministers to stay in that place of purity and cleanness and keep the ministry in that same place of purity and cleanliness. It seems to me it's very difficult. And I know that I'm not by myself, because there's a scripture where Jesus makes a very similar statement, when he's dealing with the rich young ruler, and I'll get to that. You know, that's somewhere in a few notes that I jotted down. But you know, when he confronts the rich young ruler, and it's too much for him because he has a lot. And we would say a lot had him. All his
That's the best
riches.
way to say it.
Yeah, all his riches had him, and Jesus knew it, so he identifies him. But he doesn't identify him to Jesus. Jesus knew where he was. That's why he challenged him the way he did, so that he would see himself where he actually is, that the stuff had him. But
Right.
my point is that, okay, once the rich young ruler walked away, Jesus says how difficult it is for rich people, I'm paraphrasing, to enter into the kingdom. And I'm like, man, okay, that answers the question. Okay, we're gonna go ahead and push in, okay?
Let's go.
That answers the question for me why there are so many believers, yes, including preachers, who never experience the level of wealth that they believe and they think they're entitled to because they preach.
Yeah.
Because why would Jesus, right? How difficult it is for a wealthy person
Yeah.
to enter the kingdom. So Jesus is saying, yeah, to me, he's saying, that's why many of you will never be rich. That's why many of you, I'll take care of you, but I'll take care of you one meal at a time. I'll take care
Yeah.
of you one pair of shoes at a time. I'll take care of you, you know, one suit at a time, right? Because if I allow you to get any more than that, you will miss the kingdom. Now that's hard, but that's real.
He says how difficult it is, so why would he want to make your way difficult? Why would he want to do that?
Why would he want to do that?
Especially unnecessarily.
Yeah.
And I know already there's probably some people checking out already, Bruce.
You know what I
Because
love about being right? We can be right with no guilt
that is
because
true.
our right is according to the word, not according to Bruce and Troy.
Correct. I think that's a very, very valid point. Even if people are checking out, and I think it's because what happens is people what they'll hear. Let me say it that way. What they will hear is you don't believe preachers, ministers, and stuff like that should get paid. And we've already said, yeah, you should.
Yeah, no, you
You
should.
should. I think really what the issue is not whether you should be paid. That's not even the point of this particular episode.
Yeah.
The point is, do you do it for the pay?
Yeah.
That's the point.
That's
And
the
that's
point.
completely different. So, would you do it without getting paid? And would you step on that platform even if they don't have your check? That's the point. Why do you do what you do?
I don't mind telling you, been there, done that.
Yeah.
I've done nothing but that over 40 years.
Yeah.
You know, so this is personal to me. We've done nothing but that, you
Yeah.
know, personally. I've been preaching for 40 years, and we have never required payment of any kind. As a matter of fact, there have been times when we had the wonderful blessing from the Lord to have to give it back.
Yeah.
We let them put it in our hands, we blessed it, and because it was given with the right heart, and then gave
Yeah.
it back to help the ministry. And I'm
Yeah.
not bragging, I'm bragging in the Lord, because my point is that as a minister, I'm a minister, you're a minister, we've seen God take care of us.
Absolutely.
We've put stuff out there and seen God bring it back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, not just money, but the time, you know, the effort. You know what I'm saying? The rewards of giving your time, giving your effort, giving your heart, making sure that your heart is right concerning it. You know, I know for a fact, Troy, that you've never asked for money.
No.
You've always given, and you struggle with even giving people the opportunity to give. See, there's a
Yes.
difference there. Some ask for money. Some have learned I don't need to ask for money. I just need to give them the opportunity, right? That's Paul. you should. That's what Paul said. You should. He didn't say, I'm taking up an offering. You bring 100, you bring 1,000, you bring 5.
Yeah.
No, he said, if I give you my spiritual things, you oughta.
Ought he didn't to. Say you must. He didn't say
you must.
Correct.
He didn't say you must.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I just wanted to throw that in there because, you know, like I said, we ain't ashamed to tell the truth.
Yeah. We're
not ashamed to declare the word of God and to give testimony where testimony is appropriate. Both of us have been in this thing for a while, you know, and we're just two Joes, man. We're just two dudes.
Yeah.
I know there's many more out there, you know, that are shaking their head and saying, yeah, brothers, I've been there too, and God has taken care of me. You know,
yeah.
like David said, I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen my seed beg for bread. And I did ministry and ministry and ministry and ministry and went here and went there, had to fly a few places, paid out of my own pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't miss a meal. Shoes didn't run over. You know what I'm saying? And so I think for me, Troy, the big thing is wanting the body of Christ, ministers in the body, to come to a greater place of trust in the one that they say called them. You know what I'm saying?
No, I agree. And I'm going to switch gears without switching gears.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to stay right there where you are, but I'm going to shift the focus just a little bit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about the ministers, and truth of the matter is, you're born again, you're a minister. It's not a title.
Right.
Okay,
right.
But for the sake of the discussion, we're talking about those folks that take the platform of some sort. Okay?
Considered what we call fivefold.
Even some consider fivefold. The direction I want to look, the musicians.
Oh, I got you. I got you. I got
those
you.
Those musicians.
They're in my notes. Go yeah. for it. Go
and,
for it.
And they will treat worship as a gig.
Mm.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
That's a problem because that's not worship at all. They'll treat worship as a job, and that's a problem. I believe it's in, I probably should have put this in my own notes, Bruce, but I believe there's a precedent for musicians getting paid biblically.
Okay.
And I want to say it's in, it's either first or second. I'm trying to remember exactly where it is, and I'm drawing a blank. I remember it was part of our biblical tithing teaching, which I'll throw in a shameless plug for the biblical tithing teaching. But I believe it's in First or Second Chronicles.
Okay.
And it talks about the storehouses being full with all the overflow that God had blessed their nation with due to their obedience. And after the people were taken care of, then they had plenty left over to start giving to the porters, giving to the musicians, giving to different people that served in the temple. Now, we'll look at that and we'll say, okay, well, there's precedence there. Yes, there's precedence. But if you're going to follow that precedence, you have to follow it all the way out.
Right, right, right.
They were paid after.
Yeah.
Everything else was taken care of and there was a surplus.
Good point.
Biblically, there was a surplus. And out of the surplus, they were paid.
Yeah, that's a great
not point. Before, not during, but after there was a surplus, that's what they were paid with. So when there was, if you use that as your biblical example, which most people are not going to use that because it's Old Testament anyway.
Right.
As if the Old Testament is not relevant.
Yeah.
Most people won't use that. But if you're going to use that, which I think is a good place to start, you have to look at what's happening there and look at it chronologically after everything was taken care of.
Right.
So after your building's paid off, if you're supposed to have a building, that's a different conversation altogether.
Ooh.
After your building's paid off.
Did you just toss that in there?
I did.
We'll keep going.
Yeah. After the needs of the ministry are met, the needs of the ministry are met.
Yeah.
Even to the point that the people that are there after they're taken care of.
Yeah.
If there's a surplus, then you feast. And I'm saying that with my quotes up. I guess I can do that now because we're on video. After there's a surplus, then that's what you feast from.
Got it.
But not before.
Yeah.
Right. So that I think that's just a good point to make because there is biblical precedence.
Yeah.
And I think some of the folks that kind of, I'm not even going to say kind of, and I'm not saying this about all of them, but some of the folks that seem to take this way too far are the musicians.
Yeah.
They just seem to take it way too far. And honestly, there's no reason to, I should say it that way. No reason to take it that far.
Yeah. That's good, man. That's really good.
Easy to be offended by that. You know, I get it, but it's what it is.
Well, you know, Troy, my thing is, if you're offended by it, you should ask yourself, why? Why am I offended by that?
Yep.
You know, show some spiritual maturity and say, you know what? That cut me. Okay, let me go to God and ask him why that cut me. God, yeah. why did that hurt so badly that they said that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't do that. See, and that's what they would say. Well, I don't do that. Well, but it hurt you. Why did it hurt you so badly to hear that, right? I do it all the time, man. You know, like, wow, okay. I recognize my response to something. And then I go to God and say, okay, God, help me to understand why I just responded to that way. Especially if it's a bad response. You know what I'm saying? Particularly yeah. if I don't respond well. That just tells me that there's something on the inside of me that truth touched that I didn't like. I didn't like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, you know what, Bruce, while I'm there, because I got this, yeah. I feel this rant in me, right?
Yeah, go for it.
I feel this rant. So I'm going to have to go for it while I feel this rant. Here's the thing. Because there's stories about guys being paid, which, again, nothing in and of itself wrong with even the musicians getting paid.
Right.
And we're looking at the reason, but there's certain guys that will say, hey, I'll be there on Sunday. And then their buddy will call and say, hey, I need a drummer or I need a bassist or something like that. I need something, you know, and are you available Sunday? Well, let me see what I can do. Now you've already said you were going to be somewhere Sunday, but this new gig is paying more.
Yeah.
And so instead of sticking to your word, as you said before, now you go chase the money.
Yeah.
Now, Jesus said something about serving two masters, and that other master was money.
Yeah.
Yep. So this becomes very, very problematic.
Yeah,
For real. So I've also had musicians, when I've had this conversation with them, they say, well, here's the deal. You know, it's a gift that I have. You know what I mean? And yeah. I'm providing this gift. Okay, and that's cool. Got no issue with that. But also remember this, it is a gift.
Yeah, man.
He didn't work for that. He gave that to you.
Yes.
And he gave that to you to use for him.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you've worked to fine-tune that gift. I get that. No issue with that at all. You've worked hard to fine-tune that gift just like you're supposed to, being a good steward of the gift, right?
Yeah.
But the gift of hospitality is also a gift.
Yeah.
So why is it that the person greeting at the front door who has the gift of hospitality, all of a sudden their gift is not worth as much as yours?
Yeah.
Even though neither of you worked for it.
Right.
Now that has to be explained. He could have chose anybody else to give that gift to.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Could have chose anybody. So I don't understand. You have other people that have other gifts like that, but why do you feel like your gift is worth more than their gift? Why do you feel like you have to tie a monetary value to your gift, but they can't tie monetary value to theirs? I'm going to say it in a way that probably is offensive. Why do you feel you need to prostitute your gift?
Wow. Wow.
Why do you feel like you need to do that?
Well, just say it how you really feel about it.
It's one of those things, man. It irritates me because the motive, right?
Yeah.
And I can't begin to discern your motive other than by what I see. But if you have promised to be somewhere for $150 for that Sunday, and then somebody else calls you and say, hey, they're paying $300 over here, and you decide to go over there, maybe your hands are clean, maybe your heart's pure, but it sure doesn't seem like it.
Well, I mean, but Troy, you know, that's the blessing of the Lord, man. I mean, God opened up that opportunity for me to make the more money, you know, at the other offer.
That's so funny. So forget about the whole thing.
I couldn't hardly say it without, I was trying to keep a straight face when I was saying it, right?
We forget that whole part about swearing to your own hurt and I got you.
No, God wants me to be blessed. and I'm going to interpret this thing in a real weird kind of way.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the first one was a test. He wanted to see if I was willing
go
and play drums for $150. That was my test. And when I said yes, then he opened up the real. You see, we can, you know what I'm saying? How much do we want to deceive ourselves?
Correct.
That something is God when God is nowhere in it.
Correct.
When you can't find him in it, when it literally, we overuse literally, but I think I can use it safely today. When we literally take the word of God and twist it to mean what we want it to mean. Because we want to make that extra money.
Yeah.
And we think, well, God is okay with that. No, he's not. Let's just go ahead and say it. No, he's not.
Yeah.
He's not okay with you. You know, okay, how many violations are there? There's at least lying. There may be greed.
It could be.
You know, maybe some avarice. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe some running after money. You mentioned that one earlier.
Yeah.
Maybe some doubt and distrust that God can take care of you. So I'm going to do it myself. There's a bunch of stuff in there when you cook it down, you know, and there's a lot of stuff in there, man.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that was my side track, my rabbit hole there.
Yeah, no.
Musicians there, man. It's kind of a touchy subject for me. Not that the preachers aren't, but you know what I mean.
It's a good one, man. It's a good one. You know, I think the bottom line is anyone that preacher or music minister or whatever you want to call them that are looking more to the buck than to God probably should stop doing what they're doing altogether and go get a regular job and work the job.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And do overtime. Oh, yeah. And you know, when you're more mature in the things of God and you can trust him better, you know, then maybe bring the gift back once again, like you said, that he gave you. You know, I always say this, Troy, God is not impressed with your gifts. He gave them to you.
That's right.
So I think that's part of it as well.
Yeah.
The why, when you asked why do you think your gift is greater than someone who has the gift of hospitality, right?
Yeah.
You know, because it's easy based on the gift to become impressed with yourself. And once we become impressed with ourselves, then we start allowing ourselves an expectation that we ought to see a manifestation of how impressed we are with ourselves, you know, in the eyes of others. Others need to be impressed with me because look at how impressed I am with myself.
It's a good point, man. It's a good point.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
I got a scripture.
Let's go.
Luke 22:35, and he said unto them, when I sent you without money bag, mm-hmm. You know, today they call it a bag. Everybody trying to make a bag, right? Knapsack and sandals. Did you lack anything? So they said nothing. Then he said to them, But now, he who has a money bag, let him take it, and likewise a knapsack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. I like that scripture because it shows God and how he will handle those that he calls. That there are times when he's going to take care of every single thing for you.
Yep.
And then there are other times when he says, okay, go with what you got, right?
Yeah.
I'm still with you.
Yep.
But you're going to stay, you know, in a sleeping bag instead of the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
I just aged myself because I don't know the yeah. Four Seasons are still around anywhere. You know what I'm saying?
You might have.
But you know, you're going to rough it this time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a wonderful thing to a point to make, Troy, because he's talking to who? He's talking to his disciples. He's sending them out.
Yep.
They later on are called apostles, the sent ones, right?
Yep.
In one instance, he said, I sent you. Don't take anything.
Yep.
When you go into a city, find a house. If the peace of God comes on you in that house, stay there. Don't move around. Ooh, okay.
Oh,
Oh boy. You come to the city. You already have an itinerary. You're trying to hit three churches in that city because that's three bags.
Yeah.
Can we just talk straight, man?
Yeah, let's do it.
You're trying to hit three churches in that city because that's three bags. Dude, I've known people talk to them with this face right here in their face and had them tell me that, hey, you know, I'm an itinerant minister. This is how I get paid.
Yeah. That's great.
I'm trusting God that he'll give me. Listen, I'm trusting God not to provide for me in the sense of I don't know where it's coming from and it's not necessarily going to come from my gift. I'm trusting God that he will fill my itinerary.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
That's a difference.
It's a different thing, man.
It's a difference. Yeah.
God bless him. God bless him. I've had these conversations with ministers. And I'm like, you know, okay. Okay. Luke 10:4. Carry no purse or bag or sandals. Do not greet anyone along the road.
Yep.
Whatever house you enter, begin to say by saying peace to this house. If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay at the same house, eating. Ooh, watch this. Eating and drinking whatever you are offered.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
For the worker is worthy of his wages.
So that last part is what people take.
Hold on.
Mm-hmm.
One more line.
Let's go.
Do not move around from house to house.
The house.
Go ahead.
So let's say it this way. That last part is what they leave out. Do not move from house to house. The part we love to quote to justify is a workman is worthy of his wages. But when you look at it in context.
In context.
It's not saying you should get paid.
It's not.
Right? Because right. That's not the context of that scripture.
That's
that
right.
Context is saying the payment that you have. And now think about what's happening here, Bruce. He says, don't take anything with you, right?
Right.
He said, now go to a house, and if your peace rests on that house, then stay there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
All right. And you stay there. Do not move from house to house.
Mm-hmm.
Eat whatever is offered to you.
Right.
All of these sound like instructions.
They all sound like instructions. They don't sound like suggestions.
So if I do these things, he's saying a workman is worthy of his wages, but your wages are based out of your obedience.
Yes.
And only your obedience.
Yes.
Nothing else.
Nothing else.
Not how well you can sing, not how long you've been playing your keyboard, not how long you've been fasting, not how long, none of that stuff. Based out of your obedience. You
Based
do these things, I'll take care of the rest.
That's exactly right. That's
right?
Exactly right.
He and that passage now is so funny because they will use this passage. A workman is worthy of his wages, right?
Yeah.
But at what point did he say dictate what your wages are? We don't see that, right?
Nope.
At what point did he say tell them what your honorarium is? Don't see that. I'm not going to show up unless there's at least X amount of thousands. I'm not going to show. And the X amount of thousands of dollars does not include my room and my flight.
And my entourage.
And thank you. You got to take care of them too. This is not what the passage is saying, but that is the scripture they'll use.
Yep.
And the only thing it's pointing to is your obedience.
Yep.
That's it.
Troy, I once again, I've been around long enough to have experienced some real interesting things. I remember hearing a story from a very reputable source about a very, very well-known minister of music, I would say, that was invited to a place and cursed out the host, right, that invited her and demanded that they have the amount of money that she told them they better have, or she's not going out on the platform. And they scurried to put the money together, and then she went out on the platform after having just demanded a certain amount and cursing at them, and went out on the platform and tore the whole church down with her gift.
With her gift.
This was many, 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 many years ago, and it opened my eyes to understand the difference between gifts and anointing.
Oh, that conversation's coming up too. That's a season 5 conversation.
I realized, wow, God gives gifts. Obedience increases anointing.
Correct. Correct. That is a fantastic point to make. The gifts of God are without
repentance.
Doesn't take those away from you. So that gift's going to work.
Listen, the gift will make room for you.
Mm-hmm.
Has nothing to do with anointing yet.
No.
Don't you click off of this thing. You stay right there and listen. The gift will make room for you. I've seen it, Troy. Yeah. I've seen the gift. Singers, musicians, preachers. Seen it make room for them.
Yeah.
And knew in my heart of hearts that God had not given them access to that platform. The pastor of that church gave them access to that platform. Then realized after they tore the church up with their bad philosophy and bad theology and had to come back and fix everything that was said on that platform because the gift made room for them. No anointing.
No anointing.
No anointing. Talent. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, I said it. Talent.
Talent and gift.
Talent and gift is not anointing. And you know, okay, I got a little, okay, you had your rant. It's my turn. Troy, I have a problem with how freely we, the body of Christ, declare who's anointed and who's not.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry. Let me mind my business and go back to the subject at hand.
Nah, you got to stay there. We might as well get into it now.
You know, I mean, I think this is part of the problem.
Yeah.
Because someone will experience someone's gift / talent.
Yeah.
And they'll say, ooh, that boy's anointed.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, she's anointed. How do you know what anointing is? It is obvious that you don't know what anointing is. You see, and so it becomes a vicious cycle, and it sets up for, okay, now watch, here's the money part. It sets up for people who don't know God and don't know the word of God as they should,
Well,
to now, oh, am I going to say this and they can see my face? Oh, Lord. To run with money to the altar and throw it at the altar.
Oh. Have you seen that happen? Please tell
and
me.
Then ask God to pay your water bill. But you didn't ask God if you were supposed to give the money. You were simply moved by the gift. And you assumed it has to be God because I feel goose pimples on my skin.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm meddling. I am. I am.
You are.
I am.
It's a good rant, though.
You know, and so, anyway.
So, go ahead. No, we'll stay here. We might as well. We might as well. You done added some fire already to this sacred cow, so we might as well just cook the rest of it, man. Okay. Just roast the rest of it. If you look at Isaiah 10, Isaiah 10, 27, this is very key to what you're saying, Bruce. It says this: it shall come to pass in that day that this burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed.
Not Why? Broken.
Not broken. It'll be destroyed because of the anointing. Okay? This is why, not that scripture is problematic, but the mentality that we have when it comes to not recognizing the anointing becomes problematic. This is why. To your point, the talent or the gift will cause people sometimes to assume something that's not actually happening.
Sure.
In a lot of our churches, especially in the Western church, just going to be honest with you, we have a lot of talented and gifted people. I'm going to say it the right way. We have a lot of talented and gifted people that perform in these churches.
Yes.
Okay.
I think
let's say it the right way. They perform in these churches. And what happens is when the people hear that gift or that talent, just like you said, they feel something, you know what I mean? They say, oh, that's the anointing. But here's the deal. This is what happens. Since the anointing destroys burdens, right? It destroys yokes.
Yeah.
The talent and the gift won't do that. So since it's the anointing that does that, when the anointing's not present, this is what happens. We leave these church services entertained, but still bound.
Yeah.
And we wonder why I had such a great time in this service. And when you get back home, you're dealing with the same stuff you were dealing with before.
Yeah.
Well, I thought I was exposed to the anointing, but you weren't. You were exposed to the talent or the gift.
Yeah.
Because the burden or the yoke is still there.
Yeah.
That's why it becomes problematic.
Yeah. I even see Troy where that scripture again, your gift will make room for you.
Yes, sir.
I even see where the gift expands.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In other words, the gift opens people up.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is real. This is real. And when you open people up, you can get anything you want from them.
That's crazy. That's crazy. But it's true.
This is, okay, boy, this is, in my opinion, this is not a thus saith the Lord, but I believe, like Paul said, I believe I have the heart of God on it.
Mm-hmm.
This is why certain music is played. You don't need no music to bring an offering up. To me, it's no different than when you go into, I won't call the store by name, they might get angry, but when you go into a particular well-known store, you know, that we tend to call Wally, you know, and the music is playing.
Yeah.
Do you know how much time and effort and money they've put into knowing what music to play in the background that subliminally keeps you shopping?
Yeah.
That keeps you walking around. Look, you're walking around the store almost in derision, just looking for something to buy instead of being able to go in there, get exactly what you want, and come out and still have some money in your pocket. To me, it's no different.
I'm with you.
You do all of this, you know. Yeah, no, you don't need all of that. You don't need none of that. That's just me, man. That's just me. I'm just talking about H.B. Franklin, right?
Yeah.
Because I know, Troy, I know how subtle witchcraft is.
I was going to say it. It is manipulation when you see what they're doing at Walmart.
I know how subtle manipulation is. Exactly.
Yeah,
been
these
there.
Department stores, these restaurants do the same thing.
Same thing.
Yeah, I got you.
It's amazing if you ever pick it up, because if they need you to move on because they, you know, they need that table for somebody else, right? Even then, they play a particular type of music.
High turnover music. They play it a little
faster. High turnover music, man.
Yeah, man.
And but it's so subtle, Troy. Are some of these things happening in the church?
Sure.
That cause people to give more?
Sure.
That touches the soulish part of people? That open them up and they pour out the milk money that they believed God for and worked 60 hours for? And refuse to go and say, God, I want to be a blessing, but I need you to help me to know how to do this. Right? And yeah. No, you're just responding to the goosebumps.
Yeah.
That's not everybody. That's not everywhere.
It's
but
not.
I will tell you this. It's a lot of places. It's a lot of people, and it's a lot of places, and it's a lot of churches, and it's a lot of ministries, even though it's not everybody. I will say that.
I'm with you. Again, some of this stuff, man, you have to be careful not to place unnecessary burdens on the people, right? You're in leadership.
That's right.
Was it how many? Was it 3 years, 3 or 4 years? Paul decided he was still going to make tents while he was still.
Yep.
Nobody wants to bring that up when they, you know, when it's talking about these conversations, you know, because it doesn't support the case of you being paid. But you can go get a job. It's okay to go get a job, and it's okay to be paid. Don't get us wrong, but again, it's the why. Would I do this? And would I do it with the same intensity?
Yeah.
Not just would I do it. Would I do it with the same intensity
would
if
I
were not
same
getting
intensity?
Paid?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would I be as deliberate if I were not getting paid?
It's and a corporate mentality.
It is.
It's a corporate world mentality.
It is.
I have no expectation of doing anything that I'm not going to get paid for.
Mm-hmm. And that's
I don't care sad. About the church.
It's sad. So Jesus is our example in everything pertaining to holiness, right?
Yeah.
He's our example. And he said himself, he didn't come here to be served, but to serve all.
Yeah.
Take the position of a servant in your heart. Take
the
position of a servant in your heart. And if you happen to get paid as a servant, you happen to get paid.
Yep.
But that's not the point of doing what you do.
It's not. And it can't be.
No, it can't.
It can't be. Because no matter how you try to fix it up verbally, God knows what's in your heart.
Sure.
And if you find yourself to be sort of like the rich young ruler, guess what Jesus is going to do? He's going to confront you every single time until you finally yell uncle.
Yeah.
Until you finally yield that area of your life. And it no longer matters. The only thing that matters is being obedient to him.
Yeah.
And that's just the truth of it, man. And the truth of it is, it doesn't matter whether you're a minister of music, whether you're a minister of the gospel, you know, whether you listen, I've known people that like working in the what do they call it? Not the soup kitchen, but you know, where the pantry, like the food pantry, the ministry's food pantry.
Mm-hmm.
I've known people that love working in the food pantry, but had the wrong heart about working in the food pantry.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't even really matter what the gig is. If it's a gig in your heart, right? Yeah, then Jesus is going to deal with you. That's the truth. If you see it as a gig, if you see it as something that you oughta, you should get something for, then he's going to deal with you eventually.
Yeah, and you don't want that to happen. You don't want to be on the end of that. Yeah. Not on the business end of that. I think the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do everything in his name, right?
That's right.
That's going to be your absolute best approach anyway.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Again, I look at the landscape, and to your point that you made earlier, Bruce, it's not new.
Yeah, it's not.
You know, this has been going on for a long time.
Yep.
But I think it's getting like far more egregious. Even though
I believe that. I believe that.
It's just getting far more egregious. And to the point that I think, was it 2020 or 2021, somewhere around there? I think the number one, I think it was the number one career choice in America was a pastor. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
That's the number one?
Because people begin to see that they could use it as a business.
It's insane. It's insane. So agreed. this is where my heart is when it comes to that kind of stuff. Listen, God has to deal with you because God knows your heart. You know, my thing is at least have a heart for the people. Don't put the people under unnecessary constraints.
That's right.
That's my issue. Don't oppress the people because you want to line your pockets or because you want to build generational wealth for your own family and all this kind of stuff. Let God build your wealth. Even because
you think that it's owed to you, that you're entitled to it.
Oh, that's the other word too. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Even just if it's just that, I've given my, dude, I'm talking real straight, Troy, because I was there, dude.
Mm-hmm.
I was there. 20 solid years in another man's ministry, and when God told me it was time to go, I argued with God. I said, God, you must not understand how much I've put into this ministry. I have an expectation. And God said, walk away. And I fussed with God. eventually I obeyed, but I'm just saying, we're not just looking out and observing and doing a podcast to just talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's the stuff some of us have lived.
Yeah.
And we care about the body, but even more so than caring about the body, I know this is going to sound wild. For me, I care about what God cares about more than caring about the body, if that makes sense.
Makes sense
God
to me.
God cares about the body, but I can't care about the body of Christ more than he does.
Correct.
Jesus died. He sent his son to die for the body. So I can't understand or care about the body more than he does. I'm better off caring about what he cares about the way he cares about it.
Yeah.
And if he says, don't take anything with you, going back to that scripture, don't take anything with you. We went to... We went to Bogota, Colombia,
mm-hmm.
Some years ago. I went. Robin didn't go with me. I went with some other people. And dude, it was the living quarters. The food was fabulous. Had no problem with the food,
mm-hmm.
but the living quarters were, in comparison to, a decent apartment, or decent quarters in America, what I'm saying? Even in comparison to what I was used to, it was what most Americans would consider subpar.
Yeah.
We didn't even have hot water. I had to take a shower in ice cold water with no shower head, just a solid stream of ice cold water coming down, and it was hilarious, and I was thankful for the opportunity. That's mm-hmm. my point.
Yeah.
There are things that God will let us walk through that will be challenging, but if you have the right heart, it can be fun. It can be hilarious. You know what I'm saying? It can be adventurous. And guess what? Because you kept your heart right and you did it anyway.
Yeah.
This is the thing I think is missing with a lot of ministers of music, with a lot of ministers of the gospel today. That you know, you can't listen, you can't open your coat and show your scars. But you say you want to be like Jesus. And in order to be like Jesus, to really be like Jesus, you ought to be able to open your coat and said, these are the wounds that I got in the house of my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that has to come back, man. And it has to come back in a real way. Teaching people that no, you don't always get your way. And no, it's not always perfect. And, you know, no, it's not always ideal. Do it anyway. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he slack concerning promises, as men count slackness. God is not one to forget your labor of love, which you have done and continue to do, right?
Right. That's the mentality we should have and keep. That heart has to return to the body. It has to return to the body. Yeah, it's hard to watch sometimes, but at the same time, I'm hopeful. I'm extremely hopeful.
I am too.
Because I know God is just. And even if I'm wrong, you understand what I mean? Even if I'm wrong in doing this, God is just, and God will give me correction too.
Yeah.
And I'd have to accept that correction.
Yeah.
And I believe that what God is going to do, and in some cases, Bruce, what he's already starting to do is he's starting to correct.
Yeah.
He's starting to shake the tree.
Yeah.
Some things and some people are falling out of that tree because they're not, they're actually not limbs. They're not branches. You know, they're just in the tree, fleecing the tree.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And once he starts shaking,
I got a picture. Yeah. I got a picture of some folks falling out of trees, you know, hitting the ground. Thump. Oh, Jesus, what happened?
This is what I believe is happening. And I think, in fact, I know from what I'm seeing, there's a very real correction.
Yeah.
That's happening. I don't know that it's, let me say it the right way. It will intensify.
I believe that.
It will intensify. There'll be more shaking, and everything that can be shaken will be shaken.
When the Bible says that he will have a church without spot or wrinkle, we ought to understand that it's a happening thing.
Sure.
And that if that is true, which it is true, then we know that there are certain things that have to come to pass.
Absolutely.
To clean the body up, because the body is messy right now.
Yeah.
Let me say that differently. You know, Troy, I always say that the true body of Christ is alive and well and kicking. It's the people hanging around the body that is the problem. So I'm going to change how I said that, because I really believe that. I really believe that, because God knows who's really with him and who's not. He knows, you know, over the past year or two or three or four or whatever, you know, in America, the Democrats and the Republicans, you know, the Republicans gave other Republicans that they determined were not true Republicans, they started calling them what? Rhinos.
Yeah.
Which means Republican in name only.
Mm-hmm.
Right? How many, look, I'm going to make up my own word. How many crinos do we have? Christian in name only.
In name only.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know the language. You might even speak in tongues.
Mm-hmm.
But you won't let God deal with your greed. Deal with your, deal with your fear of not having enough. Because you grew up poor. And now you're in ministry. And you're really afraid. While you're preaching the word, you're afraid. I'm talking to somebody right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to throw that in there. That always sounds good. It sounds deep. I'm talking to somebody. Right? Yeah, I'm talking to Troy. I'm sorry. I my funny just doesn't know when not to be funny. Whatever your motivation is for why you would fleece the people, for why you would manipulate the people, you have to be willing to bring that to God and let God deal with it. And I would say it's not too late. I would say it's not too late. He is cleaning up. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. Right now I'm like like Noah. I only have one message. We're trying to get someplace. God wants us to be someplace by a certain time as the body of Christ, and we're going to get there. She might end up thinner. You know what I'm saying? The bride might end up thinner,
But she'll be there.
but she'll be healthy. You know what I'm saying? She'll be healthy, although she might be thinner. We're going to get there, and we're going to get there together because he's already declared that he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. And there's no way for us to, I don't think there's any way to get around it without being willing to talk about it and point to what is keeping us together from coming and going forward together. You know what I'm saying? The weakest link mentality. I'm not saying that I'm better. I'm saying that I recognize things about me, but I also recognize things about you that's holding us back from being able to go there together. We don't mind a fragmented church. And God doesn't like fragmentation.
No.
There's nothing about him that's fragmented.
Wholeness.
He likes wholeness. What they always say, nothing missing, nothing broken. Yeah. And so I agree with you 100%. He's correcting, but he's also straightening out. You know? I would even go as far as to say this, Troy, there's some corrective lenses that God is applying as a good optometrician. But he's also straightening out some backs as a good chiropractor. And he's also fixing some ankles, right, that were broken and didn't heal correctly, so that the body of Christ can be whole and can run at the pace that he wants her to be able to run at. Because right now, you know, she's limping because she has so much stuff attached to her that she can't get her momentum. She can't get her momentum. And the people who are willing to only do what they do for money are right now a part of why she can't get her momentum.
I got you.
Full stop.
This is good. This is good. Motives are always going to be an issue, right? I think the key is to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness
Yeah.
and let him add everything else
That's
through a
right.
promise that he made, right?
That's right.
But you have to seek the kingdom first. This has been fun for me. This is something I have been looking forward to.
Yeah, man. Season
Season
five.
five.
Woohoo!
Season five, man. Can you believe that already?
Season five.
I had to make sure. I think in season five we're going to hit 100 episodes,
Cool.
which is
Let's do it.
insane to me.
Let's
So,
do it.
we got to do something big for episode 100.
Yeah.
And do something
Absolutely.
big. So maybe some of you folks might have an idea for something for us to do for episode 100. And if you have ideas, you can send that to info@h20live.org. Info@h20live.org. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, specifically this episode, if it has been a blessing to you, give us a shout out at info@h20live.org. If this podcast has offended you, then email Bruce.Franklin You can already see that coming.
I already saw it coming, man. Oh, my God.
I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we'll see you next time, and literally see you next time under the big tree.